Welcome to the Power of Showing Up podcast, brought to you by Raise Foundation, the experts in youth mentoring. My name is Dan Davis, and I'm the host of this podcast and a program counselor at Raise. In today's episode, I'm speaking to Tiana Jones, Milena Shvedova, and Amira Skeggs from the Raise Youth Advisory Committee. The focus of this episode is on anxiety and how young people can experience anxiety in many different ways. We talk about the stresses that young people face in the modern world, coping strategies to deal with anxiety, and how young people can find help for anxiety. Thank you so much for joining us on the Power of Showing Up podcast. Today, I'm actually really curious to learn more about young people's experiences with anxiety, because I know that everyone experiences anxiety in a completely different way, and it can look different for every single person. And I guess I just want to kind of normalize for our audience that anxiety does look different, and that, you know, just because you may experience anxiety different to how we talk about it here, doesn't mean that you're weird or odd. It's just that's how you experience anxiety, and it's completely normal. So just to start off, can you tell us, like, as a young person, how would you describe your or even your close friends' experiences of anxiety?
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me on. So I guess, as you said, everyone experiences anxiety in such like different ways. So how I've experienced it is super different to like how my friends experience it and so on. Like, some people might experience it as a short-term thing. They might, like, I don't know, have a presentation coming up and feel a bit anxious. And then other people might just have like this kind of underlying just sense of worry and unease, like kind of all the time. So for me personally, I've always just been like a massive worrier. I guess when I remember being a kid and like I would just stay up at night and like just be petrified that a tsunami was going to come, or, you know, World War III would start. So I was just chronically worried all the time. And I guess like as I grew a bit, like I kind of got like the external focus of just things around me being scary and me worrying about it became more internal, and I became self-conscious. And I guess that's when I became anxious about things to do with myself and how I appeared to others. And yeah.
Yeah. And I'd be curious from like all three of you, if you wanted to add into this, like what role do you think social media has played in like amplifying anxiety for everyone?
So I'm happy to step in here. I think for me, I always find myself a little bit more noisy and just a little bit more stressed when I'm constantly on social media, especially I think using different social media platforms, when I feel like I have to answer messages across different platforms or be present across different platforms. That really amplifies, I guess, the sense of responsibility I feel socially, which then can make me feel more stressed, more strung out, kind of out of control of a lot of the situations I'm in. So I think something I do to reduce my anxiety if I am feeling super anxious is definitely try and switch off some platforms or lower my social media time and kind of get back into, I guess, more the natural environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the onslaught of social media and just the repetitiveness of receiving so many notifications in one day is just something that we weren't really designed to be able to cope with. So yeah, definitely getting back to nature and just switching that off for a little while can help so much. Like, I literally just actually got back from a camping trip a couple of days ago where I was forced out of reception for a couple of days, and my anxiety levels were so low over the weekend. It was insane. So I absolutely understand what you're talking about, Amira.
I totally can agree with all that's what's been said. Like, we just don't have a chance to kind of turn off. Like, we are just constantly on and trying to respond in social interactions and things. Like, people can just reach you. And I think that really does come to light, like, when you do go on a camping trip and stuff. And I know that I've experienced that, like, kind of just sense of silence and almost just like a little bit of like a load off, not having to reply to people sometimes. Or I know a lot of people, and myself included, will sometimes feel a bit anxious when like you upload a photo of yourself onto Instagram or whatever, and it's just kind of that the pressure just takes off when you can just like switch off and just spend time with family or be in the moment.
Yeah, all amazing points. I think that's probably one of the most challenging things for younger people is just the onslaught, like you said, the onslaught of messages. Like, it's just trying to grab our attention at all moments of the day, constant notifications. And I think, yeah, it's definitely people are, like, younger people are getting access to phones as well and devices, which is a concern, because there's almost like a double-edged sword where there's almost, I notice, and when I talk to clients about this, it's like there's almost an anxiety of feeling disconnected when you're not on socials and you feel like you're not connecting with people. But then when you actually do have a moment away from it, whether that's because you have no reception or whether that's because you decide to, there's like this almost freedom, like this wave that comes over you. But then there's also the element of, like, if you're connecting with people through, let's say, Messenger to catch up or spend some time with someone, then you've kind of got to, like, find the balance between trying to connect with people as well as, like, disconnecting from the large world that we see on social media. It's definitely a challenging one, I think. But I would love to hear from you about, like, Amira, around, like, the coping mechanisms. So, and everyone's going to have their own way of trying to cope with anxiety. But do you have any kind of pointers on how you or other people have coped with anxiety in the past?
Yeah, so something that I found really helpful is meditation. So I'm a big believer in the Headspace app. I kind of meditate most days. And have used a few of their courses. I think piggying back off what we were saying about anxiety and social media and being switched on all the time, I think meditation creates a really nice space where you can be completely switched off and alone with your own thoughts for 10, 20 minutes at a time. In saying that, I do know that a lot of people find meditation really anxiety provoking often. You don't want to be left alone with your thoughts. You can't sit still. So I think it comes back to this thing of diversity within mental health, where you really need to find what works for you. So exercise is another really good combatant to anxiety. I think high impact exercise, running, a lot of cardiovascular type stuff has been shown to significantly reduce stress and anxiety levels. But again, find what works for you. So things, I really like yoga and Pilates, more low impact exercise where I can kind of slow down and again switch off. But I think, yeah, it's really about finding what works for you and kind of taking time out from the things that stress you. So I think if I were to recommend anything to someone who's really experiencing anxiety, is kind of find the stresses that are really making you feel anxious and then think about how you can maybe change those and put yourself in a context where those are reduced.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think a lot of the time we can be a little bit unaware of, like, the stresses or the triggers for our anxiety. So I'd say, like, awareness is honestly key, isn't it? It's just being aware of, you know, if I associate with this person for too long, I feel anxious. Maybe I should adjust the amount of time I'm spending with that person, or maybe I'm on social media too much. Maybe I should kind of consider what I'm doing with that. But I also think another thing that's really important for people is, like, identifying little hobbies that you can do. Like you mentioned exercise, you mentioned meditation. I think a lot of the time, just linking it back in with social media, like a lot of the time we compare ourselves, which is so unhealthy. But, you know, if you're really into just, you know, chucking paint on a canvas, or you enjoy reading a book, like if that actually brings you joy in the moment and it actually tops you up, I would say that's the most important thing. Like, lean into the things that feel right to you. You know, as long as you're obviously not hurting other people and you're not doing things that are, like, you know, maybe avoidant of certain things. But as long as it's something that's harmless and you're just reading a book, painting, going for a walk, whatever it may be, like, I think it's so important to, like, listen to yourself and your authentic self with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's, you know, what would you do if nobody was watching or if you weren't posting it on social media, and what would make you happy? And I think trying to find that. But I do think for a lot of young people who spend all their time on social media, they've never been given a chance to learn that. And I think it's actually really hard to actually find those things within yourself. And one thing I think that can be really helpful with that, I guess, is just speaking to other people and seeing what works for them, or reading about other people's experiences. So things like going online to mental health forums and reading how people have found ways to cope with anxiety is probably another tip I'd give if you're even just trying to find what works for you in those initial moments.
I would love to jump in and just offer a few tiny, tiny little changes that I've made in my day that have really sort of helped harness that kind of letting go. For me personally, I've found that one of my most sort of triggering points of the day is actually in the morning when, you know, I get up and I start doing sort of the mental run through of the day ahead. And that's when things just start building up, like the anxiety snowballs. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how can I possibly fit all of this into one day? I've got my to-do list, but it's just so daunting. And literally the tiniest part of my routine that I've changed is when I'll take my morning shower, I will just bang on like my favorite playlist at that point in time and just like let my body loose and just like dance in the shower as much as I can. And just like, first of all, physical activity, great for endorphins. And second, literally nobody is watching and nobody cares what I'm doing. Maybe my housemates might walk past and be like, what the heck is she doing in there? But I don't care what they think. And just knowing that at that point in time, I'm free to do whatever I want. And it kind of blocks that mental snowballing for me. Yeah, that kind of thing, those little additions to the day, I think can be so helpful in just like putting a stop to it, nipping it in the bud. And those are the kinds of things that I think we should keep an open dialogue about. Like Amira said, just hearing about the little things that other people are doing can be so helpful.
I mean, I totally agree with all of the things that everyone said, especially the dancing in the shower. I do have a funny story where I just like completely fell on my tailbone in the shower doing exactly that. So that, yeah, that really makes me happy that you mentioned that. So yeah, do that, but without the falling. Yeah. I also think as well, just understanding like what anxiety is really helpful for me. So just to think about, you know, your body is just like reacting to whatever it is that's getting you anxious as though you're in a life or death situation. So I didn't know much about this, but when you are, you know, like doing a presentation at school or, you know, like you're walking into the school and you're just feeling a bit anxious or something like that, like your body is actually preparing you to like take on a lion, or there's like adrenaline just running through your body. And I think for me, like learning about those kind of things and just thinking about what your body actually does for you every day to try and keep you alive, even if it's being dramatic, like which it is, because there's no lie in there, hopefully. But yeah, so I just think like having some self-compassion and just understanding what's going on with your emotions is really helpful as well.
No, that's a really great point, actually, because that's exactly what it is, right? Like we don't have any sort of like, for the most part, we don't have those threats that we had in our ancestry. So it's like now I see our threats, and a lot of the research sees our threats as like social threats. So it's like not belonging, not fitting in, you know, fear of failure, all these different things that can come up for all of us. But I think what you've all amplified there is that anxiety is completely normal and everyone experiences it, which, you know, sometimes I remind myself of that, like life is almost like, and emotions are like a wave, right? Like when you crash down and you're feeling really low, like there is an element of it is going to come back up again. And, you know, it's unsustainable to have like a happiness of 10 out of 10 at all times, just like it's unsustainable to be at a zero all the time. Like you're going to have moments where you feel like a 0.5 or a 1, or maybe you feel like a 9. So like, I think that can be quite like humanizing sometimes if we remind ourselves like, well, I've gone through this before, you know, I have felt that crash before, but it seems to always come back up. I think that's something that's helpful to remind yourself of, because everyone experiences anxiety, everyone experiences emotion, right? So just remind yourself that it's normal, it's not bad. And like you said, self-compassion, such a beautiful thing to remind yourself that it's okay.
I totally agree. Even though it's very hard to be self-compassionate sometimes, it's just sitting down and trying your best and doing whatever you can in that moment, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. So when like people out there who are listening in, like we said, everyone experiences anxiety, it's very normal. But when you experience anxiety, like where do you go for help? So like, can you kind of walk us through what that process looks like? If you're feeling anxious, where would be your first kind of point of call?
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in on this one. So first, I want to acknowledge that anxiety can be an incredibly isolating experience. And because of that, it can be so hard to even begin reaching out to anyone at all. And anyone who's experienced anxiety can attest that it comes with so much doubtful and negative inner dialogue that can actually end up preventing you from seeking help. So it is a bit of a double-edged sword that way. I think we spoke about that earlier. And since your anxiety can sort of like confine you into needing to remain anonymous, that actually ends up pushing you further into that state of isolation. So what do you do? Who do you turn to when your anxiety is telling you to sort of box yourself away? for, you know, for me personally, I do happen to be lucky enough to have a really good support network of friends and family. So if you happen to be around a trusted person, when you're having these moments of, you know, those waves of anxiety, yeah, if you happen to be around a trusted person, that can be a really good opportunity to excuse yourself and find a safe space and take some deep breaths while the wave passes. And something that I've actually personally found is that just doing the sort of breathing exercises, muscle relaxation, things like that, don't actually work super well for me. And I almost tend to get further trapped in my thoughts in that process. So a tangible thing that I like to do is I like to carry a mind occupying activity with me wherever I go. So it sounds so weird, but it can be something as simple as like a book of crosswords, a book of Sudoku, or even something a bit more hands-on, like a drawing sketch pad or whatever. And this can also be really good in the case that your phone isn't accessible and you can't use it as a distraction. So you can do that alongside a trusted person or alone if you prefer. But if you don't have a trusted person around and you do want to talk to someone, it can be really hard to wind yourself down, especially when you're at the peak of that wave. So something not everybody knows is that there are actually a lot of anonymous call and text lines that you can access literally 24/7 just for a chat with somebody who understands. What I think I'll do is I might list some examples, and something that I know a lot of people do is they actually save these into their contacts so that they don't have to spend the time Googling them when they don't have the strength or the energy to do so. So there's one called crisistextline.org, and it provides anonymous crisis counseling when you're in a high anxiety state. Kids Helpline are really similar. They're both available 24/7 as well. So if you're having a moment, you know, whether it's alone in your room at night or you're out with friends and you just have this moment of needing that kind of help, you can access those 24/7. Youth Beyond Blue have a 24/7 call service, and their texting service is from 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. So that's a decent window as well if you just want to text someone. I know it can be really daunting to have a phone call when you're feeling anxious. And another thing that you can do is if you're looking to connect with other people experiencing anxiety, Headspace actually facilitate these sort of group conversations that are overseen by a professional. So you've still got someone there guiding the conversation, but you can actually reach out and connect with other people who are experiencing the same thing, who are in a similar age bracket. And that can be a great way to sort of help yourself feel less isolated. But the thing is with, you know, as a lot of people who have experienced anxiety can attest, anxiety is an ongoing struggle, you know, it comes and goes in waves. And if you're finding that you're having ongoing struggles, but you're in a place where you're not ready or able to contact a mental health practitioner about it, there's actually a super cool online program that's almost like an interactive self-help book that you can use. And it's called eCouch, and it basically takes you through a lot of information and exercises to help relieve some of the symptoms of anxiety. It can be a really daunting process trying to seek out a psychologist for the first time, especially. Nobody really sits you down and teaches you how to do it. And lucky, we do have organizations like Headspace that can actually help you get in touch with a general practitioner or a GP to create a mental health care plan, which is essentially what doctors do in response to you know, hearing about what you're feeling. So if you're experiencing anxiety, symptoms of that, they can help create a plan of care for you. And So you don't have to go through the process alone. Once you have the care plan, you can actually be referred to a psychologist who will work with you to carry out that mental health care plan. And all you have to do to get that started is give Headspace a call, and they will talk you through the rest. And you can even bring a trusted friend or a family member to see them with you if you'd prefer. And they can talk you through the whole process, like getting the GP appointment, getting the referral to the psychologist, everything like that. So you definitely won't be alone in the process. But that's just one of the many ways that you can access a psychologist.
So one thing I'm really curious about, we've spoken a lot about, I guess, our experiences of anxiety, but what would you kind of say to someone out there who maybe a friend of theirs or a family member has actually come up to us and said, hey, I'm feeling anxious? What do you think, like, do you have any thoughts on what could be helpful in those moments?
Yeah, I think a big one here is probably normalizing the feeling and making sure that they feel like they're not alone. I think despite all the work we do having these conversations, there's still a lot of stigma surrounding mental health and things like anxiety. But as we've spoken about, most people do experience anxiety, and a lot of people find solace in the fact that someone else at some other point in time has experienced that exact same feeling, and this is not a unique experience. So I think really telling someone that this is probably very similar to what other people are going through, and that they're not experiencing this as an abnormality, they're not unusual, they're not isolated. I think a lot of those things can be really helpful and really comforting to someone who may be experiencing those symptoms for the first time.
So I also would like to see if, like, you could kind of get out of them what they're experiencing, like how they're experiencing their anxiety. So if it's kind of like a body type sensation, so if they're feeling it really in their body and their knots in their stomach, and, you know, some people might get headaches, some people might not even be able to tell you, hey, I'm feeling anxious. They might just be like, something's wrong, I'm not too sure. So it's good to just kind of like hear them out and be able to kind of like unpack with them what is going on, what kind of symptoms they're experiencing. Maybe they've just got a million thoughts in their head all at once, or, you know, they can't leave home. So it's just listening to the person and being really empathetic and, again, yeah, normalizing the experience and, yeah.
Yeah, no, all really, really good points. I think just one little thing I want to add to the idea of like how you can be with someone if they're feeling anxious, if you don't really know what kind of questions to ask, is, and it can sound like a very weird one and it can feel a little weird to ask, but it's the idea of trying to help them put words to anxiety. You know, so what sound does the anxiety make? What color is the anxiety? What kind of aura is it pushing out of it? You know, like asking those kind of almost abstract questions to try to create like an object out of the anxiety that's out of their body, instead of, you know, a lot of the time it's like anxiety can be associated with, oh, well, that person is an anxious person, where, again, like we've amplified the entire episode, it's like everyone experiences anxiety in different ways, and it is an external thing to us. We're not, you know, we aren't, you know, I'm not Dan anxious as such. It's like I am Dan who experiences anxiety just as we all do. So I think sometimes that can be helpful to ask those questions that almost externalize the problem or help them put the anxiety out of their body. But again, that's one that you can, it's a little bit of a skill to kind of ask those questions, but I think that can be helpful if you're maybe struggling to ask questions or the person doesn't even know how to put words to the anxiety, which can be quite a common experience. And I realize that we've kind of touched on a lot of different points regarding like advice for young people. But if people who are listening in right now are feeling anxious, and just for like a little bit of a meta point, it was funny because we were talking just before the episode about how we're all feeling quite anxious about doing the episode. And I mean, I do podcasts all the time and I still feel anxious every time I do a podcast. So just in terms of that, like people who are feeling anxious right now in this moment, what kind of advice do you think you would give to those people?
I guess I'll jump in. So I think the biggest one is that you're not a weirdo. You're so normal. And it's just, as I know we've repeated this so many times, but you're just a human who is going through a little bit at the moment. Your body is on high alert and you just need to calm yourself and like ground yourself and just look around and realize that you're safe, basically. Yeah, that's all I really can think about.
Yeah. So I would just say, be kind to yourself, like talk to yourself as if you're talking to your best friend or your sister or someone that's struggling, and use that same voice to yourself and just give yourself a lot of self-compassion and space to feel the feelings.
Mm, absolutely agree with all of those. And an extra little thing that I might do myself if I was feeling that way is seek out a trusted person, whether it's on your phone, it could be a sibling, a friend, a parent, and just let them know how you're feeling. Like, you don't have to necessarily go through the motions of like unpacking what it is. Just having someone be aware and understand and acknowledge that, yeah, this is how I'm feeling in the moment. Yes, it's okay. Yes, it's normal. And have somebody else validate that and be like, yes, it's okay. Yes, it's so normal. I experience this too. Can be the most helpful thing in the world.
Thanks for joining me today for the Power of Showing Up podcast, brought to you by Raise Foundation, the experts in youth mentoring. Want to hear more about Youth Matters? Subscribe today so you are always up to date on our latest episodes.